Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Rediscover Hour again. Patrick Conley with you. It's great to be with you on, you know, suddenly it's winter. What happened? It's early November, and the winter winds have blown. So I'm hoping that you are all cuddling up near perhaps a warm fireplace or under a cozy blanket and keeping warm, especially as the weekend is soon upon us here. And I'm also hoping that you're helping others do the same. I was doing some reflection on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and I think that ties into our theme for the day. You know, really in and through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, we get to encounter Christ. We get to see Christ, as Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa herself has said, that in the poor, in the poorest of the poor, she sees the face of Christ in distressing disguise. And I think that's something that is motivating to all of us as we look to particular practices of the faith around these works of mercy especially. And I'm thinking of all sorts of things that we can do to deepen that encounter with the Lord for our own spiritual building up, but also how we can help others to encounter Christ through us. And it's interesting to me that Jesus Christ, through his wisdom, has poured the Holy Spirit into our lives so that others can encounter Christ through us, and so that we can encounter Christ through them, that we as human beings created in the image and likeness of God, we get to be the vehicles of the encounter with Christ. And that's what we're really talking about today here on the Rediscover Hour. So my guest today in studio joining me will be Father Daniel Griffith, who's the pastor of Our Lady of Lourdes Church in Minneapolis, and also P.J. Butler, who works with Faith Formation out at St. Mary's and St. Michael's out in Stillwater. So I'm grateful for their joining me in studio, and I'm looking forward to hearing specific things that are going on in their parishes to help build on that idea of encounter, of how we come to see and recognize the Lord working in and through each other. And I guess, is going back to the works of mercy, I want to encourage everyone listening to think about maybe one particular either spiritual or corporal work of mercy. You got a lot to choose from there, so just take one and think about over the course of, say, this next month, how can you incorporate that more and more into your life? Maybe there's one or two things that you can do intentionally to practice that work of mercy in your life. Of course, November, the month of the Holy Souls, we think oftentimes of praying for the dead. That would be an excellent thing to do. If you haven't made your way to a cemetery yet and prayed for the souls in purgatory, I invite and encourage you to do that. But there's so many ways in which you can express those works of mercy, and you know, what better time to start than today? So that's my encouragement here as we enter into these cold months ahead, that we bring the warmth of Christ into these places. And not only do we encourage others to encounter Christ through us, but we should look for that encounter with Christ. We should, after giving ourselves into the practice of one of these works of mercy, perhaps we should look and see and reflect on how we have encountered Christ in offering our services to others. So that's my encouragement as we begin the show, and we're talking about encounter ways of encountering Christ, and that's what we're headed for in this upcoming hour here on the Rediscover Hour. But I think at the beginning, as always, we'll pause and commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, and as we are off into the Rediscover Hour this morning, I pray you'll stay with us as we're talking about encounter. Father Daniel Griffith up next.
Have you heard the expression, the secret of getting things done is to act? Sounds timely and practical, right? Well, this bit of sage advice comes from none other than Dante Alighieri, who wrote it some 700 years ago. Dante may be the most famous author so few have actually read. It's very difficult without a guy that knows the Divine Comedy so well that he can present an overview at a Saturday workshop. Father Joseph Kotirsky of Fordham University is coming to the Church of St. Joseph in West St. Paul to give an introduction to the Divine Comedy. After an opening orientation session, the day will feature a selection of readings from each of the poem's three parts designed for personal meditation and prayer. Special attention will be given to the kind of guidance that Dante the Pilgrim receives from Virgil, Beatrice, and St. Bernard of Clairvaux. Do not abandon hope that you will ever study the Divine Comedy. Come to the Dante Workshop on November 11th at the Church of St. Joseph in West St. Paul. For more information, visit the Church of St. Joseph website.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Gunling with you again. We are talking about encountering the Lord in our own lives and helping others to do the same. And joining me now in studio is Father Daniel Griffith, who is the pastor of Our Lady of Lourdes Church there in Minneapolis. And I am privileged to meet you, Father. I don't think I've met you before, so welcome to the program.
Likewise. Thank you. Yes, great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. And tell me a little bit about yourself. I mean, I have a little bit of bio information from here, but I'd prefer to hear it from you.
Sure. I grew up in northeastern Wisconsin.
Hey, all right.
Menasha, Wisconsin. I'm nice. Still a Green Bay Packer fan and still smarting from the loss of our star quarterback at the hands of a Viking.
But yes, right.
I'll get beyond that.
Right.
Youngest of nine, grew up in a kind of an Irish Catholic family, so we probably have that connection.
Yeah, all right.
And went to St. Thomas University, began 18 years old, graduated from St. Thomas, and then went to William Mitchell Law School in St. Paul, and felt called to priesthood since I was 8 years old. And,
wow.
Finally stopped enough to say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna go into seminary, and I feel that call, and it was affirmed in seminary, and it's been a joyful 15 years serving as a priest, and
wow.
In this archdiocese, it's been a real blessing.
Wow, that's great. Well, thank you for saying yes. Thank you for taking the time to slow down and stop, as we all need to do, and listen for the Lord's voice and His call. Yeah. Very good. So, and you're currently at Our Lady of Lourdes?
Currently pastor of Our Lady of Lourdes, and I'm also a faculty fellow at St. Thomas Law School. So called a split assignment. So Tuesdays and Thursdays I'm at the law school, and then I'm at Lourdes the rest of the week with a time for a day off. And that has been my assignment for the last 5 years, and it fits my personality. There's a lot of cross connections between the St. Thomas Law School community and Our Lady of Lourdes, and they're about 5 minutes apart
right.
when there's not a lot of traffic, and
right.
it's been great.
Now, just the way you were pronouncing there, you need to settle a bet for me. So Lourdes is what the French would say, right?
Right.
They drop the S, yes.
Yeah.
But so what do the parishioners say?
It's a mix.
Oh, really? Okay.
The ones who I think are French-Canadian— by heritage or French or know a lot about the apparition or have been to France and to Lourdes will drop the S. I learned from one of the previous administrators that's really how you pronounce it. So,
right.
And hopefully we're on the right, that's the right way to pronounce it. But that's the traditional French way.
All right. So from here on out. On the Rediscover Hour, it will be Our Lady of Lourdes.
Thank you.
Yes, that's right. And how? I mean, is it the oldest parish in Minneapolis? Is that right?
It's the oldest church in continuous use in Minneapolis.
There we go.
In 1854, it was a Unitarian church, and to begin with, and they couldn't make a go, and so the French Canadian community purchased it and began Our Lady of Lourdes in 1877.
Okay.
And interestingly, we found this out as well. It's the first parish named for the Lourdes apparition in the United States.
Really?
So that's kind of a neat fact as well.
Yeah, yeah. My wife and I have been over to Mass there. It was a while ago now, but it's a great little, and it's kind of tucked away there. You have to know what you're looking for there.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's we just finished both an exterior and interior renovation, so come on back.
Yeah, we'll do.
And take a look. It really is it's a wonderful place, and tons of history. We're just finishing our 140th anniversary year, so we've called it a jubilee of Lourdes. Our Deacon Tom Winninger, who's been on, who's very good at marketing, has said, you know, the term jubilee has not been co-opted, so we can use it too. So
we're
calling our anniversary year a jubilee, and it's really been a year of blessing.
Great, great. Okay, so help us to understand about this whole parish mission series that you now have going on.
So what we've done in the last couple of years is we've themed our faith formation year. And this was, again, Deacon Winninger's good suggestion. So last year was the first year we had a theme, and it was making missionary disciples. You know, I just got the St. Paul Seminary magazine, and that was their title as well. And the Holy Father, Pope Francis, has spoken about this. Certainly Archbishop Hebda has encouraged this, and Bishop Cousins. And so we started there, as you might say in the Latin, ad intra, you know, the idea of the Lord is forming us as disciples and ultimately to go out to live and to proclaim the gospel with joy. And so both things happen, you know, dynamically. We're always being formed by Christ, by the Spirit. Hopefully we're open to that in our daily lives. And so that was last year, making missionary disciples. We know that work is ongoing. This year, the theme is creating a culture of encounter. What does that mean? Unpacking that. And where we've started is in the encounter with Christ, which is perennial, which is foundational. We can't give what we don't have. We can't share the one whom we do not know. So that is foundational. And we had a mission, a parish mission. My classmate from the Bismarck Diocese, Monsignor Chad Guion, was here at the parish and really preached a beautiful mission and talked about we encounter Christ through prayer and through forgiveness. And that's our kind of fundamental encounter with Christ. And then we from that foundation, encounter Christ in others. They hopefully encounter Christ in us as well.
Right. So this is a series, though. So you're having a you're having a number of events that are going on as you're proceeding through the series. So what other things have been in part of this encounter series?
So I started, well, actually a colleague of mine from the St. Thomas Law School started by giving an introduction to encounter, and then I talked about Pope Francis's kind of exhortation to live a culture of encounter. Then we had Monsignor. We had another woman from our parish who has a PhD in religious education. And we'll have another parish mission by a Franciscan upcoming next weekend, so a week from Saturday and Sunday. And he'll be preaching about encountering culture with Christ. What does it mean to encounter the culture in which we live with the person of Jesus Christ, with the gospel of Christ? And I set it up with my one priest friend talking about encountering Christ personally, and then another priest friend talking about what does it mean to go from there and encounter the culture in which we live, those whom we meet and with whom we work and live with the person of Jesus Christ, with our faith as disciples. So that's coming up. And then we have a priest from India who runs a seminary rector in India. And he comes to the Twin Cities regularly in December, Father Emmanuel, and he'll be talking about encountering other religions. And so he'll do that in December, and then we have other things coming up. We do want to get the Archbishop back for we have a Vespers at Lourdes. on the second Thursday. In fact, tonight we have a Vespers at Lourdes, and it's a time where young Catholic adults come. They have chanted evening prayer. There's time for confession, fellowship, and kind of a pithy little, you know, 20 to 25 minute kind of a fervorino, maybe an extended fervorino. And the Archbishop has been there. Bishop Cousins is coming in December. But one thing, and I haven't yet invited him, His Excellency, Archbishop Hebda, but I would love for him to talk to the young adults about what is creating a culture mean to him, you know, exhorting young Catholics to live that and integrate that spirituality into their life.
Yeah. So we have been hearing a lot about particularly this encounter, the word itself being used. And so with that being the case, I'm wondering if you could just share a little bit about your own understanding of what does that actually mean? What does it mean to encounter Christ or to encounter, say, the culture with Christ, as you were talking about, something like that?
Sure. Good question. It's important to kind of drill down into, you know, what are we talking about? It can have different meanings to different people. When I think of encounter, it is on the level of our personhood.
Mm-hmm.
We're encountering the other as a human being, a person made in God's image and likeness, you know. And again, as Christians, that encounter happens and flows from our encounter with the risen Christ, who is our teleos, you know, our goal, our to use a little French, our raison d'etre, you know. And so we first encounter the one who is everything for us and our Lord. And then from that place, we encounter others, and we do so with the knowledge that we are connected with a common humanity. Our dignity is something that we all share, that they have a story, they have a past, they have a present and a future. And one of the things that I've learned is that, you know, sometimes when I encounter someone, I can judge them too quickly. And what I found is when you meet someone and you share a meal or you share a conversation, you really are encountering them as a fellow human being. If you're, you know, fellow Catholic, right? You're a sojourner on a journey together, following Christ. Or if it's someone who doesn't share our faith, you're encountering them on the level of their humanity in a way where, you know, you can share the joys and hopes that we all share, but also work for a common cause, and things open up, you know, when you meet someone and you talk about where they, as you did, you began, you know, what is your background? So today I had coffee with a fellow. I'm on a Catholic Ascension Academy board, and I didn't really know him. And that was an encounter. And what I noticed is we both turned our phones off. And then I had lunch right before I came here with a alum of the St. Thomas Law School. Same thing, turned our phone off. Well, I actually had left my phone in the car, and I got in the car to drive here, and I thought, that was actually very freeing. I wasn't searching for my phone. You know, it wasn't even in my possession. So you actually are not distracted and can have the time to really encounter a fellow human being, a fellow Christian disciple, Catholic, and talk about how, you know, this is a guy who just got married recently, had a child, he and his wife. And, you know, and then as you encounter them, you learn, affirm, you know, this is a person I've known since he was a law student, you know,
right.
He's doing good work. And so there's a chance to affirm him. There's good humor. And then there's things as I take it into my day, I think back on part of that conversation. So I think encounter is really that human interaction with another who has a soul, who has dignity, and who has a future. And an orientation to God, right? Sometimes with folks that they don't even know that, right? If it's a agnostic or an atheist, you know, you're trying to engage them on our level as human beings.
So just going to drill down a little bit further, too, because this is fascinating to me. I'm wondering if this has something specific to say in and around the whole idea of kind of virtual reality and social media and that sort of thing, because I agree that it's meaningful when you turn off your phone, when you're mm-hmm. when you're meeting with somebody, when you're talking to somebody. In fact, it's said, I've heard anyway, of those who met Pope John Paul II, Saint John Paul mm-hmm. II, that he had a way of engaging that made the entire rest of the world melt away, that mm-hmm. there was just that encounter. And I'm wondering, just your thoughts, Father, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, mm-hmm. but what I'm sensing here is that there's a difference between shutting the phone off and having a cup of coffee or having a meal or something like that, and sending a quick text message or sending a quick, I don't know, status update or something like mm-hmm. that. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. And I did have the chance to receive a rosary from St. John Paul II
nice.
When I was in seminary.
And nice.
You could feel, even as he was in his advanced years, you could feel that charisma and the mm-hmm. and the holiness. Absolutely, there's a difference. And, you know, I think we live in a world that's so fast-paced. And I was talking to this fellow today about, you know, I go home and I answer emails for 2 hours. And, you know, or you're doing texting back and forth. But what I've noticed with friends and family, when things of consequence are happening, you don't text.
Right.
You call them
right.
or you pay them a visit. And that is of a much deeper level.
Right.
And I think one of the challenges of our culture is that we brush past each other. And I noticed at one time, I was up in Northeast, the parish owns a home in Northeast Minneapolis, and I was dead dog tired. I was coming back, I think it was a Sunday night, and I had a couple of masses, and I was going, and I didn't have anything for dinner, and so I picked up something that I shouldn't be eating. You know, I forget what it was, probably macaroni and cheese or something. Mm. I picked up a Sunday paper, and I noticed that I wasn't engaging with the person checking me out. And she actually made a funny comment about the combination of the paper that I had and the macaroni and cheese. And it was really funny, and it stopped me. I laughed, and I thought to myself, I was not engaging her as a fellow human being. I was just brushing past her. Mm-hmm. I was seeing, to quote John Paul II, he would warn us to not see the others as just an instrument. You know, robbing them of their subjectivity. They're just somebody that we're going to use in a particular circumstance, but to really see them as one who is a subject, who has dignity and value and worth. And I think our modern culture can really inhibit that. And I think as Catholics, as Christians, we have to figure out where are the places where we can help evangelize culture. And one of those areas is in having meaningful encounters with people, turning the phone off, and or forgetting it in the car, whatever mm-hmm. You will, and so you can really have that personal connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a special challenge here in 2017, in the time when we are engaged with, as you've already put it, Father, with so many distractions, that a real authentic encounter. Means that we have to intentionally cut out some of those parts of our lives. I want to go back just before we have to say goodbye to you, Father, to touch on the series again here mm-hmm. At Our Lady of Lourdes in Minneapolis. And is this something that others are invited to, or is it specifically for the parish?
It is absolutely open to everyone. We've been trying to get the word out, so I was so delighted by the invitation. And it will continue in the spring. And what we'll do is we'll get all of the sessions up. I think they are on the website, but we'll get them up on the website. Come on out to the parish. It's a beautiful parish. We have a young fellow who is our organist and choir master, who's really talented, faithful young guy. And the churches we're seeing, it's a beautiful, beautiful liturgy. And then stay for the faith formation. We do faith formation, adult faith formation between the masses.
Okay.
But one thing we learned is, and I learned through Hard Knocks, I said, well, people will come out on a Tuesday. they often won't, because the downtown parishes, I think St. Olaf has the same kind of issue, is they'll come downtown once, and if they're coming in from the suburbs, and so we do our formation from 9:45 to 10:45. So no, it's open to everyone. We love visitors. We'll sell you a French meat pie, and it's a beautiful location, right, kind of on a little hill overlooking the Mississippi River. So,
yeah,
and not far from Father Hennepin Park, and from St. Anthony Falls. So it's a destination that's worth coming to. A
lot of good Catholic history there. What is your website, Father, for the parish?
We just changed it, and and so now I don't know.
Google it.
Google it. It's now a .org. It used to be a .com.
Okay.
But if you put Our Lady of Lourdes Minneapolis,
yeah,
you'll find it. And kudos to Julie Craven, our director of communications, who just got a new website.
Nice.
Launch. So, yeah, we'd be excited to host you.
Yeah, wonderful. And just before you go, Father, I'm just wondering, first of all, thank you so much for being on the program.
My pleasure.
Been great to converse with you. And may I ask you to give an on-air blessing for all of our listeners, please?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God, who made you in His image and likeness, sustain you. May your heart be open to the grace of the Holy Spirit. May you become missionary disciples who encounter Jesus Christ in all whom you meet. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thank you again for being on the program today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So that is Father Daniel Griffith. We are going to take our next break. And when we come back, P.J. Butler from St. Mary and St. Michael out in Stillwater. Stay with us.
Confidence. It's important to have when you're on the road. With innovative Bridgestone tires on your car, truck, SUV, or minivan, you're riding on tires you can trust. Bridgestone tires are engineered to give you peace of mind so you can focus on enjoying the journey. So whether you're on your morning commute, a cross-country road trip, or a relaxing Sunday drive, Bridgestone tires will be with you wherever life's roads may lead. Bridgestone, your journey, our passion. Available at
Westside Tire, just 15 minutes west of the Metro in Corcoran. They'll take care of you.
In every season, it's important to have safe and reliable tires. This season, it's especially important. The champions of service at Westside Tire have tires and brakes for your car, truck, SUV, and crossover. Come and see them for whatever the road throws at you. All season and snow tires for every vehicle are available now at Westside Tire, just west of 494 off Highway 55 in Corcoran. Call 763-420-2100. Relevant Radio listeners can count on Westside Tire. They'll take care of you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, Susanna Parent, our producer, and in for Paul Sadek, who's on pilgrimage in the Holy Land, is our own Glenn Leverin. So we'll hear a little bit more from him later on in the program. And I'd like to welcome now to the program, joining me in studio here is P.J. Butler. And P.J., you are working with the Church of St. Michael out in Stillwater. You are the Director of Faith Formation out there. And, it's great to have you. We've had lunch together and we've met before, but it's great to have you here on the program. So thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. I should mention St. Mary's and St. Michael's.
Sorry,
I'd
yes.
be remiss if I didn't include
of
both
course.
Parishes.
Well, yes. We can't overlook Our Lady even in the face of the Archangel. So, yes, absolutely. Right, St. Mary's and St. Michael's. Great to have you with us. And, first, let's get to know you a little bit. So give us a little bit of your own history. Are you a native Minnesotan?
I'm not a native Minnesotan. I am a cradle Catholic, but I'm a Chicago Catholic from the suburbs of Chicago, and took all the sacraments and went through public school. So I'm a product of the state of Illinois, I like to say.
Yeah.
And went to state school for undergrad, took my bachelor's in finance. Really didn't like it very much, was trying to find my place in the world. And so I took some time off, didn't go into the work world right away, and I joined FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students,
sure.
for 2 years. They sent me to Nashville for 2 years. And then from there, I taught high school theology in Alabama for a year, came up to the state of Minnesota to discern a vocation to the priesthood, discerned out of that, stepped into the master's program for Catholic Studies at St. Thomas,
mm-hmm.
Married a St. Paul girl, bought a St. Paul house, and we had a St. Paul baby about a year ago.
Congratulations.
So this is home now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was kind of a circuitous route to get from Illinois to St. Paul, but we're glad that you're here now. Yeah,
it's good to be here.
Yeah, very good. And how long have you been out at St. Mary's and St. Michael's?
I took the job there November of 14, so 3 years exactly.
Okay, very good. And how are things going out there?
Really well, I think. Before I went there, I knew of the community out there by reputation. Mm-hmm. I knew it was a really beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
And so to be welcomed there for this position of Director of Faith Formation was really an honor, humbling, and a huge responsibility, I thought. And it is still that, absolutely. We've had a good string of pastors. We've got the National Dominicans there, a good school. Beautiful town itself, you know, it really just attracts families because of the nature of the town, you know. And so there really are a lot of young, serious Catholic families who bring their kids, bring them to Mass. They stay together outside of Mass. There's a real sense of friendship and belonging in the community, I think. And in terms of faith formation, I think we're trying to do new things. Mm. We have started a couple years ago, Why Disciple, the discipleship format for post-confirmation.
Yeah.
Catechesis of the Good Shepherd for the younger kids, which is a Montessori-based educational method.
Yeah.
Really beautiful. You could have another show just on Catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
I'll write that down.
And discipleship, honestly, I think, too. Actually, what connects, this is a bit of a tangent, but we can get into it. What connects, I would say, discipleship and Good Shepherd is this concept of encounter.
Mm.
But we can get into that.
Yeah, we will.
RCIA, I love RCIA. We have about six every year. God calls about six. And we pray together. We stay together. We have meals together. We study the faith. It's really, that's a beautiful moment for me every year.
Yeah.
So we live in St. Paul, so I commute out to Stillwater.
Yeah, right. Wow. Yeah, well, it's a beautiful community out there. I have been out on a number of occasions. My parents just moved out of that area. But when I'm out there, I love dropping in. In fact, it was just this last summer that I had my first time out at St. Mary's. I've been to St. Michael's a few times. And St. Mary's is beautiful. It's a beautiful parish.
I hear the apse, you know, above the tabernacle, the high altar there,
mm-hmm.
was actually designed with the St. Cecilia Congregation National Dominicans Mother House in mind.
Ah.
And if anyone's ever been there, you'll notice the connection, but it really has got a nice feminine touch.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful, nice. Okay, so let's move a little bit into this encounter. Now, specifically, the reason we're having you particularly on this is that you are hosting at St. Mary's and St. Michael's a Called and Gifted workshop coming up, which we've had shows on that before. I think a lot of people know that that's something near and dear to my heart. I'm one of the presenters, and it's something that's changed my life, and I've seen change the lives of many others. But I'm curious, from your perspective as a director of Faith Formation, when you first had the inkling that, hey, maybe this is something we want to do, why did you think that? What is it about Called and Gifted that you were actually interested in?
Well, it first became something that I thought maybe, yes, we should do this when Father Michael Sweeney came and visited Stillwater to do our parish mission in the spring.
Yeah.
The idea of Called and Gifted had been kicked around a little bit as a thing to do, but as far as I knew, it was just one of the millions of things that are offered, and I was like, okay. But after hearing Michael Sweeney, Father Sweeney, speak to the parish staff, actually, for about an hour about the charisms,
mm-hmm.
in particular, I said, this is something that we should get behind and that we should do. And fortunately, our pastor as well is behind this, so we were really going full steam on it.
Yeah.
What I saw in Father Sweeney was an understanding that God works through concrete things.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit comes to us through concrete things.
Hmm.
We know this through the logic of the sacraments, right? This is familiar to Catholics for that.
Yeah.
I tend to think of the Holy Spirit in a reduced way. I this is full admission. As it's only, he is only something that can give me a kind of inner enlightenment. And I have to close my eyes to find the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
But the way we see God working in history is always through people and things. Hmm. The primary way we see him working in the world is through Our Lady. The Holy Spirit is what conceived Jesus, the incarnation, right? So the Holy Spirit and concrete things are not actually separate. Mm. So how do we look for how the Holy Spirit's working and cooperating with that? What does that mean? The concept of the charisms, I think, comes up and is interesting here. Some of the things that he said. So a charism is different from a talent, mm-hmm. because a talent is something that you as a person individually can kind of develop based on your preferences and your tastes, and you can just sort of practice it, and it's your own, and it's detached from, you know, it's not really given to you as much as a charism is given to you. And forgive me, I haven't actually done the workshop, so if I'm misrepresenting anything,
I'll let you
called
know.
And gifted man in front of me can correct me. But the charisms, I guess there's a couple of things that I noticed that was really interesting. You can tell if someone has a charism because it's an objective thing. There are things happening when someone interacts with someone in a certain way. You have the gifts of hospitality, for example, because I've seen how your generosity in welcoming people into your home or whatever it is changes people. Mm. It's changing people. And I guess all the charisms have an objective kind of observable dimension to it. Mm-hmm. This to me was like, oh, I kind of like this. I also really like that there were a couple of anecdotes that he gave Father Sweeney. If you're doing something that's totally natural and someone's like, wow, you've really, I'll stick with hospitality. You've really are really good at welcoming people into your home. What are you talking about? Everyone does that. Mm-hmm. Everyone welcomes people into your home. Mm-hmm. That's actually not true. That is a particular charism, possibly for someone. Mm-hmm. I could go on and say a few other things, but the reason I think called and gifted or the possibility of knowing one's charisms is interesting and attractive is because, I'll speak for myself, I want to know my purpose.
Yeah.
And I have found that not only do I want to know my purpose, but I want to know my identity. I think mm-hmm. purpose flows from identity. Mm-hmm. And called and gifted presumes and assumes and proclaims and builds on the fact that we do belong to God. We are called to him first. And he gifts us with certain charisms, and he gifts those around us with certain charisms to bless each other and to prepare the way for us to affirm the presence of Christ. And so I think to know one's identity and to know one's purpose is really attractive. Mm-hmm. And it awakens something deep in me. Man, I'm really excited to do this workshop with the possibility of knowing how I am called to be, who right. I am called to be.
Right. And I think you hit on something important there. And just to give a little bit of a teaser for those who may be listening to the live show on Friday morning, that if you're signed up for the Call and Gifted Workshop, or if you would like to sign up, which is still a possibility, you can go to the rediscover-faith.org website and you can click on events and see it there, or you can click on Called and Gifted. There's still openings and registration there. It's Friday night and Saturday. Next Friday night and Saturday. So that's the 17th and 18th. And then, but to give a little teaser, little preview, is that this getting to know, some people might decide to take a Call and Gifted out of some sort of self-interest, getting to know myself better. And I want to be a little bit careful because that can, you know, devolve into narcissism, I guess, or something like that. Not what it's about. It's about understanding how you so eloquently put it, PJ, that we belong to God, and God does have care for us as individuals, and he put us into a church such that we could cooperate with him in living out a life that is reflective of Christ and being ever more conformed to him. And that's what Called and Gifted is really all about, is discerning these particular gifts that he's given us to live out our mission as part of the larger church's mission to the world. So What is your hope as a director of Faith Formation? I mean, I know you have a lot of personal stake in it as well, and I hope you get some really good things from going through the workshop yourself. But as a director of Faith Formation, where can you see this going in your parish, in St. Mary's and St. Michael's?
Yeah, we had some visitors from a parish nearby come and visit us from St. Pius X in White Bear a couple weeks ago to kind of give a Q&A to some of the folks who may be on the fence about Called and Gifted and Stillwater, which went really well. It was beautiful, actually. One of the things that Dave, I believe, said was that the charisms are given to us not only so we can volunteer at the parish in a clearer way, but so we can understand who we are in relation to our spouse, to our children, to our coworkers, to our whoever it is that may be in our horizon. And so what I hope this does, and I think it immediately does, and I think fruit will bear out with it, is the connection between faith and life. Faith and life are separate conceptually, the way we live a lot of the time. And if faith remains separate from life, it will have an expiration date.
Yeah.
So I think this will hopefully begin the conversation or continue the conversation about what it means to be a Christian in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right, because as lay people especially, our primary call is to the world outside the parish boundaries. So, yes, in case anybody's worried, this is not a workshop about how to get more involved at church, but it's more about how to live out the call that God has placed on your life uniquely as an individual, right? So I want to go back to something that you mentioned before, and especially as we're talking about encounter now, and I know there's lots of ways in which Called and Gifted plays directly into that, because as we live out and manifest the gifts that God has given us, others encounter Christ through us, which you've already set up very nicely in saying that the Holy Spirit works through concrete things. But you also mentioned this connection between, say, Good Shepherd, Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, and discipleship, is this whole thing of encounter. Unpack that for us.
At the heart of Christianity is an encounter. So anything that we do at the parish should keep that in mind, I guess. I don't know how to say it. The difference between Christianity and all other religions is that whereas all other religions are man's search for God, Christianity is God's search for man. And this is something to just not just repeat like a bumper sticker. Like, it really is something out of this world, you know, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
The claim that the infinite desire that I have for happiness, for justice, for peace, for freedom, for love, for truth, which is always out of reach, by nature of those things and because of my fallenness. What I need is those things to have pity on me and come to me. God, out of his mercy, comes out of the heavens and becomes a historical fact to bump into, to be reawakened by. A different sort of man who can speak like this, right? And if you look at the experience of the people in the Gospels or the saints or any of us, there's something happens when you meet a Christian or when you meet Jesus. There is, I would use the word correspondence. The question in me is reaching out, and there's a corresponding answer. In the flesh, right? So not just an explanation, but I see in front of me the thing, the person, the object of my desire right in front of me. This is the experience of John and Andrew and Peter and Mary Magdalene, the man born blind, all of these guys. It's my experience. So encounter is, this is the way that we interact with the world. We are a real thing. The world is a real thing. And God respects that. Again, the logic of the sacraments. How does he communicate himself to us? Through a presence. Okay, but we're 2,000 years later, 3,000 some odd miles east or west, depending right. on which way you want to go.
Right.
So how do we meet him? the church's claim is that Christ's Spirit is present among the community of believers.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have that exact same experience that Mary Magdalene had,
mm-hmm.
that John and Andrew had today. Not only that, but I need it all the time. It's my intellect and my freedom, as it plays out in history, it tends to close, it tends to darken, it tends to weaken. So I constantly need it to be reawakened.
Mm-hmm.
This is the logic of the church, mm-hmm. the sacraments, staying with those people who reawaken my humanity like this.
Mm-hmm.
Catechesis of the Good Shepherd and Montessori before Catechesis of the Good Shepherd understands this. Montessori discovered it. She herself was a Catholic, so she had a kind of Catholic sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
But she discovered that this is how the child comes to know the world, through things.
Mm-hmm.
And they really love to know the world. They want to know real things. Catechesis of the Good Shepherd really builds on that and a lot of other principles that I don't have time to go into. Would love to, though, at some other time. And the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd has a couple of assumptions. The child is already in relationship with Jesus, and they just need to be shown what that means, and it needs to be unpacked for them. So they're not given definitions. They're given materials to work with to awaken their sense of wonder, which is innate in them, and the fruits are beautiful. Discipleship. Christianity needs to be transmitted through people, through friendship like this. It's not simply a different way of packaging the intellectual content. It really is an approximation of the Christian method, mm-hmm. friendship, companionship. Mm-hmm. These people are encountering each other. This is what I want for our families. This is what I want for our middle school. This is what I want for myself, that we actually live with this awareness that I don't save myself. I need another in front of me to bring me out of myself.
Yeah.
I could say a lot more, but I don't know. That's a crash course.
I'm kind of enwrapped here. No, I love it, and that is exactly true, and you can see that throughout the church. I was just thinking as you were talking about encountering others through the body of Christ, through the community of believers, and encountering Christ in that place. And I was thinking about the three kisses of the Mass, that the priest or the deacon will kiss the gospel book as we encounter the Lord in His Holy Scriptures, and most particularly in the Gospels. The priest and the deacon, or the bishop, will kiss the altar, the place of sacrifice, of course, where we, in the Holy Eucharist, we encounter Christ. And then there's the kiss of peace that is shared from the altar to the people, and in some parishes at least, amongst the people as well, to say that these are the places that we kiss Christ. And what a glorious presentation of the whole thing of encounter. It's physical things, physical stuff, as you said before, right? Well, I'm grateful that you've said yes to the Lord and that you're here in Stillwater directing faith formation there in the parish and everything. Maybe just one final question for you, PJ, is if you had a word of encouragement or something like that for somebody who's wanting to encounter the Lord more concretely in their own lives. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but any thought, any question, or any thought come to mind about that particular question?
I'll use the first words that Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John. John and Andrew were going after him, and he turned around and asked them, "What are you looking for?" And I don't think that's an accident that those are the first words that Jesus uses.
Mm.
That's always the first question that we should be asking ourselves. What are we looking for? And there's also looking. It involves sight.
Mm-hmm.
Look for the things that correspond to the deep needs of your heart. Be willing to be surprised by where that correspondence may come to you. It's an event. It happens. It's outside the web of your emotions and thoughts. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes. It could be very small. Most of our conversion stories involve quote-unquote small events.
Mm-hmm.
But they become an encounter when it corresponds to something deep in me. So look and ask the question, what are you looking for?
I love it. P.J. Butler, Director of Faith Formation at the Parish of St. Mary's and St. Michael's out in Stillwater, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah, and that Called and Gifted Workshop will have more information after this next break. We'll have that and a bunch of other events coming up in the area, ways that you can encounter Christ. So stay with us.
The tradition of a friendly neighborhood approach with traditional Catholic values is how you describe James Kohler Family Dentistry in North St. Paul.
I'm Candace at James Kohler Family Dentistry. I've been happy to help Dr. Kohler for more than 5 years. As the year comes to an end, you may have money in a medical spending account that needs to be used. Our entire staff offers a comfortable and gentle approach for all of your dental needs. We welcome new patients of all ages and provide annual cleanings, same-day crowns, fillings, and more. All of our dental services qualify for use of your pre-tax medical spending account. We specialize in affordable, comfortable, and quick repair of most dental issues on the same day at our expanded office in the North Metro, just off Highway 36 in North St. Paul.
For an appointment, call James Kohler Family Dentistry at 651-777-6454.
You can find out more by visiting relevantradio.com/dentist.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. And sitting across the table from me is not Paul Sadek, but Glenn Leverins. Glenn, welcome to the program. It's good to see you.
Yeah, hey, it's great to be on here with you.
I feel kind of sheepish saying that to you. I mean, you're the veteran here. I'm just the rookie.
Oh, you do a fabulous job, though. Fabulous job. Rookie of the year, if there's such a thing.
Thank you. Well, what do we got going on, Glenn?
Hey, we got a lot of things going on this next couple weeks. And one of the events we talked about just moments ago with PJ, discerning and using your charisms. It can change your life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the church and how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and the life of your parish as well. The Church of St. Michael in Stillwater invites you to join them for this two-day Called and Gifted Workshop. It's coming up Friday, November 17th, 7 to 9:30, and Saturday the 18th from 9 to 4. To register for the workshop, visit the events page on rediscoverfaith.org.
Learn the basics of the Bible in one day. You are invited to the Catholic Watchman Bible Boot Camp with Jeff Cavins on Saturday, December 2nd at St. Therese in Deep Haven from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. This is an event for all men, but will focus on fathers and their critical role of leading their families in the Catholic faith. Dads, please bring your sons. Participants will receive materials and a hearty lunch. The cost is $40 per person. Sons 18 and under attend for free. Please register at st-therese.org/events today.
You're also invited to a one-day symposium on man, woman, and the order of creation. It'll explore the Catholic vision of the human person and its theological, scientific, and social constructs. The goal of the conference is to equip clergy, religious, pastoral ministers, educators, and lay leaders with the pastoral insights they need to reach out to those they serve in truth and love. Join us Monday, December 11th, 9 to 5 at the OEC Auditorium at the University of St. Thomas. More info is available at stthomas.edu/spsod/about/events. You got all that?
Yeah, did you get all that? That's a lot. Wow.
Also, evening event, 7:30 to 9. That's free and open to the public. It'll be the culmination of a day-long symposium. Registration for the evening event not required. For more info, this might be quicker than the other emails.
Right.
You can contact Deborah Savage, PD Savage at stthomas.edu, or 651-962-5061.
Very great. Very good. And you know what's just around the corner is Advent, which is the sacred season that prepares the faithful for the celebration of the great feast of Christmas. You are invited to the four-week Advent Bible study, A Journey Through Bethlehem, with Father John Eckert. This study will run from 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday, November 29th through Wednesday, December 20th at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in South St. Paul. The cost? A mere $15 per person, which includes materials and a snack. For more information and to register, visit the Bible study page on rediscover-faith.org.
You know, Patrick, I'm getting ready for Advent. Earlier in the week, I put up my Christmas lights.
What?
I haven't lit them yet.
What? Come on.
But during the nice weather, I put them up. I didn't light them, but they're up there, so
oh,
I don't have
yikes.
To do it in a snowstorm.
Glenn.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, where is God leading you? Women are invited to the ACCW Advent Morning of Prayer, Praise, and Presentation. It's at St. Charles Borromeo in St. Anthony, Saturday, December 2nd. Great Advent, as women of prayerful discernment. The theme on the question, where is God leading you? That retreat starts at 9 a.m. and concludes at noon with Mass. Cost is $15 before November 22nd or 20 after. For more info, visit accwarchspm.org or visit the events page at archspm.org.
Yeah, all these websites. I guess that's the way of it these days. Yeah, well, guess what, Glenn? It is Black Catholic History Month here in November, and next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to be joined by Andrina Gines, who will share with us about her experience at the National Black Catholic Congress. We'll also hear from Deacon Gabriel Ayamdur. I'm going to have to ask him on that pronunciation of his last name there. He is from Ghana, and he's studying at St. Paul's Seminary. And we'll hear from Father Eric Rutten, who is the pastor of St. Peter Claver Parish in St. Paul and the director for the Archdiocese Ecumenical Outreach. So that's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. Great show on Encounter today. I think it's one of those things that if it slips off our radar, it becomes something that's a little bit less, well, it makes Christianity more of just going through the motions rather than actually living out a life in communion with the Holy Spirit and communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we got coming up next week on Black Catholic History Month. And say a prayer and go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.